It's Thursday, January 27th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 51, Alien Budget Crisis. Running time for this episode is 54 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast where one of us was on the Power Rangers wiki today. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler, and I was on TV Tropes instead.
I'm Zach, and I haven't been on any websites today.
None?
Oh, wait, no, sorry. League of Legends forums does
count.
Okay.
And I'm Ed, and I just live in the internet.
He's actually a digital entity. There is no person named Ed with us.
Are you Ascendant yet? Who's your Digimon partner? Did you defeat the Dark Masters?
I actually fusion evolution with myself.
Okay.
Well, he's in the internet, he can copy himself, so. We're happy to talk about a gaming system on the way up here that's like a dystopian future where corporations ran the world after an AI...
Shadowrun?
Took over the world. No, the Earth is destroyed. We bailed on Earth. And one of the rules of all the other sentient species in the galaxy is don't create malevolent AIs, and we're like, yep.
That sounds like pretty much every science fiction setting I've ever heard of.
Mass Effect doesn't have that.
Mass Effect has the, yeah. Well, not abandoning Earth, but I meant the don't create malevolent AI.
It never works.
It's a bad idea.
And yet somebody always does it in pretty much every science fiction setting.
Well, it's usually accidental. You usually just write some code and leave it for 30 years, and they're like, oh, well, it's self-sentient
now. It didn't happen in Star Wars. 3PO isn't, like, Darth 3PO.
That would be so hilarious.
It happened in 40A.
Did it?
Yeah. The Iron Men, during the Golden Age of Humanity, they had the Iron Men, which rebelled, and that's why they, instead of having supercomputers, they just graft people into, like, the guns.
Oh, the cogitators?
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't gotten that far back in my 40K lore. I love the setting, the game is too expensive.
I hate the Space Marine fluff.
I hate all of the setting, and except the orcs. The orcs are great.
The orcs are great.
The Imperial Guard I like. It's World War II if everything wants to eat your face in space.
Space Face.
So, Mr. Space Face, what have you been playing? Since you are our guest, you can go first.
Well, I've been playing about an hour of Bravery Default, which is basically the intro cutscene, which is a purple fairy makes you promise to beat the game. AR. Then there's an AR cutscene, which didn't work because I got the download and didn't have an AR card. And they're like, no, trust us. Just pointed at the...
Didn't they come with the DS, though?
No, I think it's got its own special one, and also that's on a different continent.
Oh, well, you know, details.
And then there's like five more cutscenes where they give backstory to people who I'm assuming I'm going to meet. And then they destroy a village with some sort of a ground-based space laser.
That's a ground-based
It came up from under the ground into space.
Oh, okay, and then arced back down?
Well, no, it didn't come back down as far as
so they launched a satellite with a death laser on it.
I think we can all say one thing here. That escalated quickly.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, there was some sort of an evil cloud.
It's all fun and games until someone launches a satellite with a death laser on it.
And then I've been playing a lot of The Assignment, and I didn't play as much of that as I wanted to because I had it installed with Wine, and I broke that when I installed the other game I've been playing, Hearthstone.
Hearthstone is pretty great.
I've been playing, you know, enough of it to unlock most of the classes and realized that, wow, this is an amazing game. And also, wow, I should really start playing The Assignment so that, you know, I can talk about it.
Yeah, that's League of Legends does that to me more than Hearthstone. But that's because with Hearthstone, after you unlock the classes, I basically just do my daily quest, which requires at most 10 games. And that's if I'm on a major losing streak.
So I had a very similar experience for something I've been saving up until the podcast, but.
Ooh. Well, Ed, let's let you finish before we move on to
The only
super
thing
secrets.
Else I did is I played a little bit of Fortune Street.
Oh, yeah. How did you like that? I think the record will show this podcast is pro Fortune Street.
There we go.
I really did enjoy it. I was dead last until I managed to get, I think, second.
Yeah, you ended up in second. I ended up in third despite being in first most of the time.
Yeah.
I think Katie won?
Yeah, despite falling asleep halfway through.
That game is just amazing. They did such a good job for...
It's like Monopoly, but it doesn't suck.
And yeah. Stocks.
Of course, it's better with players. I didn't really like playing with bots.
I feel like you could make an actual board game out of it if you use some slide rules.
Yeah, like the math is a little too complex for that.
Yeah, he said it should become packaged with a TI that just has some built-in functions.
Either that, or I feel like you could do some sort of a cardboard difference engine that would do most of it for you.
So we had Toad as our computer on this because Alex had been handing out cookies to Girl Scouts and came down like halfway through the game. So we had Toad going like, "Oh boy, I sure can't wait to help the princess with all these profits."
Shut up, Toad.
He didn't turn off his voice.
Well, they don't have a voice. They just...
I know, but you can turn off talking.
I know, but we were having fun ranting at him, so.
I see.
Also, I was slime, and I was getting, like, nothing but ones and twos, so I don't know if there's some sort of an attribute
I think we
with
theorized
that.
Different characters roll different amounts.
I've been told that there's absolutely no difference, but.
Oh, no, slime got lots of ones and twos.
You know,
so.
It is possible you just rolled really badly.
Well, it was to the point where I was, like, two levels behind everybody because I didn't go around the board enough.
Yeah, but your sample size is one game.
Fair enough.
That you could have just gotten a bad seed.
I was going to say, how would we know whether it's actually random?
Well, I remember Tyler played slime, and you were actually kind of scooting around the board quite a bit.
No, I never played slime. We had slime as the...
Yeah, slime is always the correct computer choice.
Exactly. Slime was usually our computer competitor. Or Luigi, but I usually like to play Luigi, so... Or Waluigi, because...
Waluigi!
Waluigi number one!
Waluigi blast off at the speed of light!
Waluigi surrender, prepare to fight!
Wah! That's right!
There's your free money, Nintendo.
No, but there should be. What would just be a toad with purple spots?
Mushroom toad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so Ed showed us the trailer for Maple Story 2. There were no horny mushrooms in it. I'm very sad.
There were a couple of mushrooms in it.
But they weren't horny mushrooms. That's an actual monster. It's like it's like a mushroom with a blue cap that's spiky. And I think someone Korean translated that and didn't realize what was going or so they entirely realized what was going on and decided it needed to say. But I'm excited for Maple 2.
Anything else, Ed?
Nah, that's all I've been playing.
Okay, Tyler, what's your super secret surprise secret?
I finally started playing League of Legends.
Oh.
Oh, did you?
No.
Oh. That would have been interesting to talk about.
That's like a me-level troll right there.
I know.
Give me five.
Those gloves are bad for high-fiving.
They are. They don't transmit sound very well. My hands are freezing, so I'm wearing fingerless gloves right now.
That was a masturbatory high-five.
So is regular high-five like the sex of high-fiving?
Yeah. Don't you feel great and tingly after you high-five and just want to cuddle?
Did Alex show you? Okay, so she went to this bar with her dad, and she high-fived the owner at one point, and then the owner's hand just, like, stayed there, and she started, like, rubbing her thumb on the back. She's like, hand hug. I'm trying to make this the most awkward thing ever. So Alex has been spreading hand hugs that she learned from the owner of this random bar. So
fun fact, my sister-in-law already knew about it.
What? Well, so, I haven't been playing as much of The Ascendant as I wanted to, because I actually had a lot of fun with it, but instead I've been playing Super Mario 3D World, and I've almost beaten it. There is a level that, do you remember the train level? Did you get that far ever?
No, I only played it with you.
Okay, so one of the bosses is, I think it's just one of the levels? Maybe it's a level leading up to a boss, is just a train, and you have to, like, go along this train while bullet bills on a train on a parallel track are shooting at you.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It's pretty awesome. There's a secret hidden level that I just happened to find while digging around the map that is that level, except everything is money. The train is made out of money. They fire bullet money bills at you. It's wonderful. However, I got to the end of it, and I wanted to see if I could walk off the front of the train. So I did, and I died, and then the train disappeared. I'm like, well, I still got 8 lives.
Can you imagine if real life worked like that? I wonder if I can walk up this train. Oh!
Well, the answer is yes, I can.
That's a terrible decision.
Well, see, as soon as you can back up your brain, that'll totally be a thing.
Yeah, Alex and I were talking about this recently, wondering how the ability to serialize the human brain would affect our behavior. Like, would people just do knowing that they could just back themselves up right before doing it?
You'd obviously have some people that didn't believe that. That would really be
back.
Them.
Well, and, yeah, but like.
And what if you forgot to update your backup? You'd have to start over from so long ago. No. Like, imagine backing yourself up, going to college, getting your degree, and then dying and being rebooted from before you went to college.
Just like, oh, I just killed a stripper, but I haven't saved since before college, so.
Well, that's when you can just go online and download a save file of college.
And then do save state hacking to imprint your memory on that college save.
College speedruns.
Oh, man.
I think that's called arts degrees.
Yeah, thanks a lot, asshole.
I know we've talked about this on this podcast before, but the guy in charge of Rooster Teeth has a Bachelor of Arts in Computer Science.
Yeah, I think I've heard about this, and I wondered how the hell. But,
What else have you been playing?
A very small amount of Pokemon.
Yeah?
Very.
Minuscule.
Did you catch one?
Yeah, I did.
Did you catch them all?
No, I have not. I don't even think I've caught them all on the route. Oh, yeah, I finished Super Brothers Swords and Sorcery EP. It was depressing.
Yeah?
I highly recommend it. It's a, really...
So like Walking Dead.
Yeah, except not quite. There are no choices you can make, really. Oh, no, it's really cool, and the music is kick-ass. It's, really ambient. Oh, no. I highly recommend it, especially since it's, $3 and available on mobile devices. So go get that, people. I think that's more or less it. I haven't actually been playing a lot. Mostly Mario, actually.
Oh, glad you're getting enjoyment out of it. I don't really want to play it solo. It just feels empty.
It's a lot easier, but at the same time, also a lot... there are a lot of things where you need to have, five copies of yourselves in the Double Cherries in order to solve a puzzle, which you could have easily done if you just were playing with four people. So, I don't know.
Is it truly easier, or is it just because I'm not there?
It's mostly because you're not there. Because, no one's rushing, and therefore I'm able to get all the stars and stuff, so...
I'm not rushing, I'm just trying to get you killed.
Although there is a level in it that's, open safari land or something, where you get dropped in, and it's just, this giant... safari plane that you had to go wander around through.
That sounds like what I want the entire game to be.
Yeah, no, it was the closest to Mario 64 I've seen in a long time. It was really cool, actually. But it was one level with a 300 second time limit and a bunch of clocks scattered. Also a giant rabbit for no apparent reason.
You gotta have a giant rabbit.
Oh yeah, clearly. But and also I was Cat Luigi at the time, so I was Cat Luigi stalking the giant rabbit.
What have you been playing, Zach? Anything up to that caliber?
Yes, I have been playing League of Legends. I started playing ranked. I've gotten through my first 5 games.
Oh, you're actually in ranked now?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
He's not placed yet.
I haven't been placed yet. I'm 2-0 in League of Draven. and I'm 4-1 overall.
Okay, well, that's not bad, actually.
I lost my first game I played in ranked. I was on the closest thing I had to a main champion.
So before you get placed, do you, play against other unranked people?
I don't know, but the last couple of times I've been playing, I've had people who have gold and silver banners on my team.
Huh. That just means they were gold or silver last season.
Yeah, okay. That just means that the season rewards are at the end, so could just be horrible, and they had really crappy matchmaking ratings, so they get stuck with me.
Do they re-rank every season?
Yeah, it's a softer re-rank this season, but I don't know exactly how.
Okay, so they're if you were gold last season, then they're We'll let you play against bronze.
As I understand, you keep your matchmaking rating, which you can't see.
Okay.
But if you lose to other people who are at your level, then you'll go down, and you might be placed down.
Okay.
Conversely, if you do much better, you'll
go
up.
Of course. Well, I haven't actually, full-on carried my teams. The 2 games I played in League of Draven were... I felt like I was doing really well on those games. I was playing Leona the last time, and I felt like I was in control of the bottom lane, because the enemy support... Every time they left their carry alone, I jumped on him and did horrible things.
Does carry usually do mid or bottom?
AD carry is usually mid. Okay, or usually bottom, my bad.
Yeah, an AD carry and a supporter paired bottom, and the ability power carry, the AP carry, goes mid. It's typically how that works. Oh. Although AP carry and AD carry are terms that are sort of dying out.
Oh?
Yeah, it's just because AD carries don't really carry games that often.
They're more siege units.
AP carries, they've created a lot of characters that function like mages, but do attack damage instead of magic damage. Like Zed, who's a ninja, who
or
does
Yasuo.
A whole lot of damage really fast, but it's attack damage instead of magic.
Does that matter?
For armor purposes, it does.
A little bit, but...
Are some people, stronger to physical?
Yes, and you can buy items that give you armor or items that give you magic resist.
There's, I think, only one item that gives you both.
There are a couple. Guardian Angel.
Guardian Angel is the only one I can think of.
Once you know what kind of team you're playing against, you should know which ones to buy.
Yeah, and
usually,
you want to see who's doing really well. If, their mage has got, 12 kills, it's time to buy some magic resist.
Whereas if their AD guy in the bottom lane has been completely shut down, buying armor should be a secondary.
Okay. The more I hear about this game, the more I want to play it, but I don't think I'm going to have the time.
It is a time sink. I haven't been playing it at all. Like, I played two games this week, and I feel like my skills is atrophying and I'm a bad person, but...
The Jungle Karthus was funny.
Yeah, I tried playing Karthus in the jungle. Don't do that, kids. Anything else, Zach?
No. A little bit, a very, very little bit of Risk of Rain, and that does not look like anything I was watching you play.
Oh?
It's 2D.
Yeah.
The game we were watching him play was definitely 2D.
Yeah, it's a 2D side-scrolling thing with randomly spawning enemies and a bunch of different character classes.
That sounds exactly like the game we were watching him play.
Also, randomly generated treasure.
For whatever reason, I thought it was a different kind of game. It looked less like what I thought it was, and that is just...
So what did you think it was?
I don't know. There was another game you were playing, I think, that was trying to find dungeon exits or something like that that had permadeath.
Yeah, no, that's Risk of Rain.
Oh.
I don't know how you thought that wasn't 2D.
I took a look at it
and
a while back, and I didn't really... I thought it was something else, that's all.
I mean, it is pretty for pixel art, but...
You can do a lot with pixel art these days if you want.
Well, yeah, technically everything is pixel art, I suppose, okay. But specifically I think it's running off of some hacked-up version of Flixel. So the fact that it's running on that is pretty impressive. So Flixel, for those who don't know, is like a Flash game engine for making pixel-based games.
Which is something that I've noticed with a lot of the newer indie games is 10 years ago, they would have just been Flash games. And while I love these games, I'm debating whether or not something that would have been a free Flash game 10 years ago really deserves my $15.
Still really awesome free Flash games, too. Newgrounds has gotten a lot better in the 15 years since we were in high school.
But it's a really weird dynamic that I really don't know what I think about.
Well, and keep in mind, League of Legends, which we go on and on about, is a free-to-play game.
That is true.
And on the other hand, I've sunk hundreds of hours into FTL, which is basically a fancy Flash game with nice music.
Yep, I think the soundtrack is what makes the difference there. FTL, by the way, freaking amazing.
Well, so. What it proves is that if the gameplay is good enough, people will pay for it, no matter what it looks like.
Indeed. They say Meat Boy was a Flash game on Newgrounds before it ever became a...
So is Castle Crashers.
Yep.
Never played Castle Crashers. I've heard it's a decent game.
And Alien Hominid. And although I don't think Alien Hominid ever got super popular. I'm trying to think. There was another one recently that...
Plants vs. Zombies?
Yeah, that was also on there.
Plants vs. Zombies wasn't a Flash game.
Yep. Totally was.
I will bet you money it wasn't.
Nope, totally was.
No, I believe it was originally a PopCap game.
Yeah, it was PopCap, and it doesn't seem like that's something PopCap would do.
Admittedly,
they
might
have bought it from someone.
There were like a million Flash games that they decided, if we put birds and pigs on this, we can make millions of dollars with Angry Birds.
So there was also Castle Crush. There are so many games that have already existed that are just now getting wide appeal as mobile games.
Like Candy Crush is every Bejeweled clone.
It's Bejeweled with a Skinner box, though.
A what?
A Skinner... You're the science guy. You don't know what a Skinner box is?
I've never heard of that term.
The thing, you push the button, you get a treat, you push the button, you get a treat, you push the button, you get a treat, and I just like to push the button.
No, I've never heard of that. This sounds like a psychological experiment we should perform.
It was done on animals, where they would train rats, mostly, to press a button, and then they would get food.
So
often MMOs and games with reward structures like that are compared to them.
Oh, so it's like Pavlovian response?
Yeah, kind
of. Very similar.
But it's you actually start to enjoy the pressing of the button.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's things mammals specifically like to... We actually savor the anticipation of the action more than the result of the action.
A string of petty victories.
Extra Credits actually had a couple of episodes on this, I think.
Extra Credits is just fantastic. I should link all their episodes in the show notes for this episode.
And right here, you should have a link to TV Tropes.
Clearly.
Okay, Ed, we're not that mean. We don't want to troll our listeners that bad.
I don't know who actually looks at the show notes.
I do.
I do.
When they're there, I usually do.
That's how a high five should sound.
I'm sorry, my hands are muffled. It's for better lock picking and pickpocketing.
And I don't know if it's been expressed before, but griefing is what I do. You're good at first-person shooters. Tyler's good at puzzle games. Jeremy's good at League of Legends,
I'm pretty sure
I guess.
I'm not good at puzzle games.
I'm good at griefing.
I'm good at Pokemon battles.
I'm good at 2D
Speaking
fighters.
Speaking of what I've been playing, lots of Pokemon. Me and Ed had some Pokemon battles, and
more high five.
Ed was defeated.
A lot. Gardevoir.
Were you ever even close?
I did pretty good when he only brought two Pokemon.
Yeah, I accidentally only used two Pokemon once.
One of them was his Gardevoir, and he still took out half my team.
Was this just a move layout thing, or do you just, like, know...
My Gardevoir had Teleport on it.
What?
I had no answer to Gardevoir. Also, my way of playing Pokemon is mostly, this one looks cool, and this team's all Eevees, and I remember these Pokemon from other games I've played.
So, Eeveelution teams are actually remarkably effective, but...
Not mine.
A lot of them do baton pass tricks to make that work.
I didn't realize that until I used my Ditto.
You're like, oh, baton pass.
Also, you'll notice the fact that I used a Ditto. I am not good at this game.
Ditto is kind of usable, but you need its hidden ability.
What's the hidden ability?
It transforms when you switch it in.
Oh, God.
And you give it a silk scarf, and it outspeeds every Pokemon in the game.
Yeah, that's, I think, necessary to make Ditto usable.
Remember,
yeah.
In the one Pokemon battle I have been in, I cheated to win.
Victory. I was going
to
say, you did win, though.
I know. I have no problem with the fact that I cheated. I'm concerned with the fact that I still kicked your ass. I'm just pointing out that if you want to be on the person who's the worst of the podcast, it's probably me.
It made me reevaluate how good I think Gardevoir is. Because yep. Lucario is definitely my threat, and I never had to use him.
So, Kirlia, yeah. When I had it, was just sucking wind, so
yeah,
I never got a Gardevoir.
Its typing is really good. It's a little slow.
Yeah, the fairy, I didn't know it was also dual fairy type until just recently, so.
And it's been using Dazzling Gleam when it gets Moonblast and Shadow Ball on its moveset instead of Teleport. I think it'll be quite a threat.
I think my Gardevoir's moveset's just awful.
So, although I've got the special attack Lucario with Calm Mind and
Shadow Ball. Yeah, that's redundant.
Shadow
Ball. You don't need Calm Mind Lucario and Calm Mind Gardevoir.
No. I'm saying that's my counter to your Gardevoir.
Oh.
Because that's what my team's
Dazzling, or Moonblasted.
Turns out my counter is Gardevoir was half
Is fighting
my team.
Weak to Fairy?
It is.
I
Steel
thought
is strong, though, so they'll be neutral.
Yeah, no, I
Same
thought...
Same with Psychic, so...
I thought Fairy was just resistant to fighting. I didn't know that fighting is weak to it. Okay.
My one counter
got the Shadow
Ball. Lucario,
also, my Gudra Yvetl. Is a great special tank that knows Flamethrower.
Oh, God.
I'm ready for your Lucario.
It's okay. I've got no Fairy types. God damn it.
Yeah,
well, you have a Gardevoir,
really...
or you have a Kirillia sitting in your bank somewhere.
I have enough Pokemon that I can put together a good competitive team. I'm just lazy.
Yeah, I'm struggling with what I want my final team to be. Because I want to use the Aegislash, but I don't think I need it in the Lucario. I think I need some sort of physical tank.
Well, the Aegislash can be a physical tank.
Yeah, I don't think it can be. I don't think it's the right one for my team.
Probably not,
because that's how I have it built, and I think anything else would be better.
Aggron.
I think I'm going to go Venusaur.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess Venusaur, I've actually been using Blastoise as my tank.
With Rapid Spin, that seems pretty good. I just think it needs the Mega Evolution to really compete, and I think it's a waste of the slot.
I agree. Although, I don't know, he's pretty tough anyway. It depends on what you're typing him against.
So, been playing a lot of Pokemon. I realized that Gallade is the only Pokemon in Kalos that can learn a Sleep Mood and False Swipe. So I caught another Ralts and trained it up to be a Gallade with Hypnosis and False Swipe.
Does it also have Mean Look?
It can get it by breeding, but mine doesn't. The one that people who are really min-maxy suggest is you do a Smurgle and then give it the one that turns other Pokemon to Water type, so it can False Swipe Ghosts.
That's actually pretty awesome.
And so I had Gallade and Gardevoir for a fair portion of the game. I beat the
Which
Elite
seems
Four,
redundant.
Who I really want to talk about, but Tyler hasn't got there yet, and I want to wait for his reaction and input.
So you managed to do what you were hoping to, which was beat Tyler through the game?
Yeah, you did.
Yay for me. Yeah, my final team with Gardevoir, because it kicked Ed's ass, so I figured I was on to something. Gudra, Aegislash, Lucario, Venusaur, and another guy who was clearly very important to my team.
Greninja?
Yeah, Greninja. Thanks. My first Pokemon. My bestest friend. How could I forget Greninja?
I haven't even had my Chestnut on my team for, like, 3 gyms now.
Yeah, Chestnut.
Chestnut's terrible.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad we made him go there? Or made you take him?
I will take the Froakie over a Chespin. Although Chespin was adorable, so...
I have a Squiggly Fennekin I can give you.
Squiggly Fennekin.
I have my neighbor's Fennekin.
Yeah, I forgot that they give you that. Actually, I'm probably going to get a Froakie through that. So.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. I got Chespin because I really like Chespin, but then I found out I hate all of his evolutions.
Oh, God.
You don't like the football?
Yeah, the stupid football thing? Oh, that was terrible.
And then he turns into, like, a turtle rat.
It's terrible. And, oh, God, it's so bad. I hate Chestnut.
I should have just gone with the Firefox and, like I always do, get the Firestarter.
Greninja's the way to go.
I have seen that most of the times in these games, I don't like the Leaf Starter. I just don't care for him.
Grass is not a good type.
Smugleaf is awesome, though. I can't remember its real name, but...
I
Turtwig was pretty cool.
I think
cool.
that was a, yeah, I think all the ones that I've played.
I like the Turtwig
skipped over.
Line.
All the starters in gold suck.
I like Cyndaquil.
Yeah.
Cyndaquil's the best.
I think Chikorita is the best of them, and they all suck.
What is the water one?
Totodile?
Yeah, Totodile. Feraligatr is terrible.
No. I actually like all of the Gen 3 ones.
I never played Gen 3.
Which are...
Treecko, Mudkip, and Torchic.
Torchic.
So I heard you like Mudkip.
I do. And Torchic. And Treecko.
None of the leaf ones have ever appealed to me on the
Bulbasaur.
Level that I need to get. Well,
Bulbasaur is a dinosaur with a flower on its back that shoots out lasers.
Bulbasaur is the only one, and even then,
Bulbasaur is not a dinosaur.
Charmander beat him. I mean, that was kind of the thing in those.
Well,
is that Charmander was awesome.
Grass is not a very good type.
It's okay.
I have yet to find a niche where I would want a grass over water or ice. So, like,
fair enough.
I don't know. It's also not a great defensive type because it's weak to poison and flying and fire. And
also, there's a lot of grass types in the game.
There are.
Not as many as water types.
Yeah, there's so many water. Although that's because of third gen, because it was on islands. And they're like, islands need more water Pokemon.
Well, I also think it's part of how many creatures are in the sea in our world compared to the land.
Indeed. Did you see that Pokemon Color Wheel
I
posted?
I think you showed it to us.
So much blue.
Yeah, you've totally mentioned this on the podcast before.
Have I? Okay, well, never mind then.
You like it a lot.
What were you trying to say before I kept interrupting you, Ed?
I don't remember.
Mission accomplished, Tyler. You managed to grief Ed.
Awesome.
Speaking of accomplishing missions, the assignment for this week, XCOM.
XCOM, XCOM.
Save the day. Rob Liefeld sent aliens.
Oh, Rob Liefeld.
Oh, God, this game.
You can't be too mad at Rob Liefeld, right? He's doing what he loves and making millions of dollars.
With no formal art training. He is
an inability to draw feet.
He is the Highlander 2 of artists. You say his name, people laugh, and then you move on.
I feel like the intro is a good place to start
with
the game, because it has nothing to do with the game.
Well, if we didn't know the game was set in the 90s, just one watch of this thing's intro sequence,
it looks
and it's like,
more 80s than 90s to me.
It looks super 90s
to me.
It
looks like Gems should Showtime Synergy in with the Thundercats to me.
It's got a very 90s comic book feel to it.
That's true.
Which is nowhere else in the game.
So, you, like, start out with this alien shooting dudes, and it's, like, got these terrible, like, half-ass scream sound effects as panel shots of people's faces.
Like, they aren't even the Wilhelm scream. I mean, if you're going to be generic, you might as well use that.
Yeah, also, the one guy, civilian, that you see die, super pointy teeth. So I really think that we have here is an aborted pilot for Aliens versus Vampires, which is a game I will play.
Indeed.
But what if it's like Zombies versus Werewolves, where at no point during the movie do zombies combat werewolves?
Well, this
I thought it was Vampires versus Zombies, and they never actually fought.
Whatever.
And this also there were werewolves.
This at least showed aliens killing one vampire, so...
But, and then an alert button goes off, and this guy in, like, the worst purple jumpsuit that it leaves, like, the top of your head exposed for some reason, so your 90s hair can fall out.
So his awesome hair
comes in, like, Gatling gun.
So you can tell that he's a Super Saiyan.
No, he doesn't have the Gatling gun. Generic brown-haired guy
has
the
really
Gatling gun.
Does really short, stout guy have the Gatling gun, who also has the awkward jumpsuit to show off
his... You have got to link this, because our descriptions are not doing this thing justice.
More of the story is then the game starts and it's nothing like that intro.
You forgot about the half-assed 3D model of the ship flying off.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
It's made out of like 12 pixels.
More pixels than they use in Tecmo Bowl.
I was shouting that during the Super Bowl. I'm like, come on, guys, you can't catch up to them. What are you doing, playing Tecmo Bowl? Anyway.
I didn't actually watch the Super Bowl.
That you didn't.
I was
anything.
Traveling.
See, I was like, I could be watching TSM beat Cloud9 right now.
And so you did?
No.
Oh, you watched
the Super
Bowl. I had to
suffer in silence.
I was helping my brother-in-law build a 3D printer. So.
Oh, fun.
My problem is every time I watch the Broncos and they aren't doing well, I'm very unpleasant to be around. I recognize this fact, so I just don't watch the Broncos.
Well, you would have been good most of the season.
Well, anyway, then you start the game, and you have to place your main base. It can be anywhere in the world, and it's got a sort of slowly rotating globe that you move around and you
very
click where you
slow.
Want to move the base. I didn't think it was that bad, but the fact that I was playing this on a touch screen probably meant I was assuming I would be much faster without one.
Probably. And then you can also zoom in and zoom out of this globe, which
can
is
you really?
Later. Yeah. They're right next to the rotate button.
Oh, that's what that did.
I was just right clicking and dragging the globe.
Oh. I never right-clicked this entire game. Right. I'm told the right-click did a lot of things.
It was essential.
You need it to get out of menus.
Nope. I use escape.
I tried that. It didn't work.
Yeah, me neither.
It worked on mine. Oh, really quickly, if you buy this through Steam, the way Steam launches this is it downloads DOSBox and then runs it in DOSBox.
Yeah.
Something about that makes me really happy. I'm glad to see that Steam is using DOSBox, which means it'll be forever supported.
It's like, wait, what the hell is it doing?
So you place your base. Where did everyone place their first base?
Colorado.
Really?
Yeah, mine was the Batcave. You also have to name your base.
Mine was much less interestingly named. I just called mine Alpha Site.
I put mine in Beijing and then named it after an SCP.
I put mine on the North Pole, named it Fort Solitude, and stole the best thing about Superman.
Is that the best thing about Superman? It's a pretty good thing about Superman.
It's the only thing that's
Crypto
not
Crypto the Super Dog is better than...
Okay, yes, Crypto the Super Dog.
What about the Super Horse?
No, Comet the Super Horse is...
That's Supergirl. That's his cousin. Totally different person.
Also, he's not actually from Krypton. He's a centaur that was cursed by Cersei and put on an asteroid.
And this is why Marvel is better, people.
Well, Comet the Super Horse hasn't been around in years.
Didn't they bring it back?
Also,
it
was the Silver Age.
No, they got rid of everything in the New 52. And I'm sad. Crypto isn't around anymore.
Superman now has body armor.
Yeah, because that's what he needed.
But he's invulnerable.
Yeah.
So what's the armor protecting?
Yes.
It's lead-lined, so that kryptonite doesn't
defend the New 52, except for to say Scott Snyder is an amazing writer on Batman. He was writing Batman before the New 52, so we didn't really gain anything.
I'll be honest, they did get me to start reading Animal Man and Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah, those are really good. Oh, I only read Swamp Thing. I heard Animal Man was also good.
Well, it was great. And then I stopped because I was basically picking up at newsstand and they decided to skip a couple months.
All right. So on the world map, you have this like time control that goes in increments between 5 seconds, which should just be a pause, really.
Yeah.
Since almost nothing happens in 5 seconds and you only go to it if you don't want anything to happen. And one day, which is the nothing's going on mode.
I was almost always in one day.
Yeah, I went to 30 minutes for... some things, but for most times I was
either in 5 seconds or one day.
Yeah.
I was running mostly 30 minutes.
But you place your base, and then you really have no direction after that.
Yeah, you wait for it to detect some aliens, and then you can scramble interceptors. You start with two. That's what I would go to 30 minutes when I was scrambling interceptors. Yeah. To watch them, you know, make their way to the UFO.
There's just something satisfying to watch the little blips on the map
go
toward the little green blips go to the red blips.
You click on intercept, you're like, go, what are they called?
Interceptor 1.
They're just Interceptor 1 and Interceptor 2.
I know the Firestorm is the upgraded Interceptor. The Sky Ranger is the...
I don't think they're named in this one. Yeah, I know they're Ravens.
The Interceptor.
Yeah.
Okay. You send your Interceptor, and it goes into this kind of turn-based combat system, except for, A, it's real-time, not turn-based, and your options are not labeled.
It's
click a button
attack,
and hope.
Disengage. Look at the status of the UFO. I don't know how to get out of this screen. Let's hope I win.
Cautious attack, regular attack, and also don't attack.
Yeah, what's the button that brings up like a dashboard thing? What is that?
I think that's supposed to look like the enemy UFO you're shooting.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was an internal
console.
I
think that's what it is. Is it supposed to be the UFO?
Okay.
I was so horrible at this, I never actually managed to shoot a UFO down.
So Jeremy and I apparently accidentally disengaged a lot.
I did that. I did that too, but then I'm like, wait a minute, no, go get him.
Labeled. I'm like, I need to attack. Oh, this is disengaged. Quick, change. Oh, wait, no. I've already disengaged.
Well, I felt like I should have some options other than shoot more, or shoot most.
Yeah. I specifically want to try to avoid comparing this to XCOM, Enemy Unknown, the new one, as we talk about it. But in that one, you just send the interceptor and you get a pass-fail message.
You also have like some things.
There's some options once you do some research on stuff.
You have the ability to burn up part of your satellite to focus its attack. I don't know.
Well, you can remember that.
In Enemy Unknown, you can lock on, dodge, and then...
I don't remember any of that.
There's a third one that you can buy all these. They have to be researched.
Oh, yeah. You can buy like one-use upgrades.
Yeah, they're one-use upgrades.
I forgot about that.
Which are somehow allegedly attached to your satellite, as I remember.
No,
really...
they're attached to the actual...
Some of them, I think, were actually things that were supposed to be on the satellite.
No, some of them
Anyway, they made this much better.
Yeah, they did a better job. That's the long and short of this.
Mostly I wonder if prettier. You could have researched some more stuff for that in this game, and we just never got that far.
Well, I know there are two interceptor upgrades you can do, and you can get new weapons for them. But that's in Enemy Unknown as well, and it still just goes through automatically. Because really, you don't have much agency over the combat.
Nope.
And the choices you make aren't interesting. So much so that they didn't even label them for you.
Mostly it's click the all the bullets button and just leave it. That'll shoot it down or it'll run away.
Mine just kept getting away.
See, I didn't have any getaway except for by my own stupidity.
Well, also, I was always sending both interceptors at all times.
See, I would send one, and then if I thought it was going to get away, I'd send the other.
Well, that's how I did it.
Sometimes, when both of them are there, it gives you two battle dialogues at the same time, which...
That sounds confusing.
Well, you only push the shoot all the buttons, shoot all the bullets, shoot all the bullets buttons, and then you watch as the UFO crashes. Also, don't shoot it down over water, because then you don't get to...
Oh, really?
...the corpse.
I never... I placed my base over the largest landmass in the world, so that never happened to me.
I was in the Arctic Ocean, so...
There were a lot of aliens littering the ocean there.
So then when you shoot it down, or when they land, or when you get a call that they're terrorizing someplace, you can send in your ground force, which goes in a Sky Ranger.
And dies immediately.
Yeah, it lands, and then people are like, all right, everybody off this, I'm dead.
One thing I did learn is always leave one guy in the Sky Ranger, because if everybody dies, nobody's alive to tell the Sky Ranger to go home.
I never had that problem. Yeah. There's no
dedicated pilot in the Sky Ranger. It's like the X-Men. Everybody knows how to fly the fighter, and everybody gets off the fighter. So nobody to take it home if everybody dies.
So you'd have to buy a new one?
Yes.
You're
at the point where you don't have enough money to buy a new one, you basically just wait for the game to tell you you lost.
Or aliens decide to attack your base so that you can get some more money by saying, look at how well we defended our base!
Wait, see, if you're not doing well enough to get the aliens to attack your base, they're not going to attack your base. Because you can't do anything to them, why should they bother attacking you?
Yeah, I played and every time I played, I never won, but I always got into loss conditions where it took me 6 or 7 months for the game to tell me that I lost. But I didn't have any way to actually play the game.
I never got the lost conditions. I just got the I don't want to play this game anymore conditions.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the combat. You have up to 12 soldiers on a Sky Ranger, or you can replace 4 soldiers with 1 tank.
Which is clearly the optimal option.
Yeah, no, the tank is a good idea.
I think 1 tank is correct, in my opinion. But people have told stories about how XCOM was great. You would name your squad after your friends and form bonds with them, but I don't know how anyone did that because
dude, these people die. Like
my guys didn't even get to the ground. They took a step onto the offloading ramp on the Sky Ranger and died.
My first two missions, no one died, but after that, they just started dropping like flies.
This is like getting attached to the first Marine you build in StarCraft. He's gonna die. Okay.
The first mission I played was a wipe. The second mission, 2 guys survived. The third mission, I didn't realize you had to put people onto the Sky Ranger, and I lost my Sky Ranger.
Wait, what? You can send it out without people, or...?
Well, if you have casualties and you don't re-equip the Sky Ranger, it doesn't automatically put them on there.
So no, it doesn't.
You only have the 2 guys.
That's because people who are in the Sky Ranger can't defend your base when your base is being attacked.
I never got that far.
You go to the fight, you have weapons on the Sky Ranger, so you can choose loadouts for all your soldiers, whether they have rifles or pistols or...
Hand cannons.
Yeah, or machine guns.
Which is cool.
And something that bothers
me... And ammo clips.
If you have people die, but you win the level, they don't bother to pick up anybody's gun before they leave.
Yeah, that's...
So it doesn't go back to the Sky Ranger.
I can understand why that is as a game mechanic, but yeah. Man, the first encounter I had one guy die after I face-rolled a bunch of aliens because I got lucky and all my troops wandered onto one alone at a time, 3 separate times. But one guy died. He got a posthumous promotion.
But it doesn't make sense as a game mechanic either, because they specifically say, after you kill all the aliens, we're going to send in teams to scavenge up all the materials from this...
You know why they don't? It's because clearly that tech is not advanced enough for the researchers to bother with, so they just leave it on the ground.
Let's talk about the way the combat works. It's turn-based. All of your guys go at once, and you can
move.
Switch between them. You can move one guy half of his way, go move another one, and then finish the other one.
Like this guy, yeah.
Everyone has action points, and moving takes action points, turning takes action points, and the facing is important.
crouching takes action points.
Wow.
Everybody has
they
a randomly
really
assigned
streamlined
number
that.
Of action points.
Based yeah. on their internal stats, there are a lot of stats.
It's pretty cool, though.
I couldn't figure out what half the buttons did in combat, and I was afraid to click them for fear of getting someone killed.
There's a cool horror element with the way the Fog of War works,
oh,
where
music.
You go into a building and you have to look around, and that's slowly turning your action points. And like, if you go into a barn, you have to turn the corners and look through the stalls. The problem is the aliens don't have much initiative, so a lot of times in combat, I found most of my combat was looking for aliens and not finding them.
Yep, I had one that I'd actually had a clear view of the Sky Ranger the entire time. And he was just standing there until I happened to wander through the barn with five guys, and he's like, eh, I guess I'll shoot now.
Yeah, they really streamlined this later, but
I wish
yeah.
they had more stats in the new one. But
there are all the stats in this one.
I kind of like the fact that there are so many stats.
I have an issue with the stats. The stats have a very wide range of what they can be.
And they're not normalized.
So it turns out that you have a wide enough range that you can't play two guys similarly. Because one guy will take three hits to die, one guy will take half a hit, and also can have vastly different amounts of action points.
Would it have alleviated that if they had, like, this is a, each guy has a certain total amount of stat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But distributed differently? Like, you could have one guy who has, like, 90 bravery, but he can't shoot.
Well, just as long as we had archetypes of some sort, I think that would have been useful. But, like, one of my guys was completely useless. He couldn't shoot, he couldn't take a hit, he was a coward. It was, like, it's real like, life, but...
Why did you get recruited into what is effectively an elite military organization?
Because he wanted
you
to be an engineer.
This?
I'm sort of torn. They give you a lot of guys, so the fact that your guys are pretty disposable isn't that big a deal. Also, it, like I said, it has cool horror elements where you're looking around a barn,
dude,
and you have to...
The combat music for that is... It's so creepy. It's awesome.
On the other hand, like I said, it comes down to boring hide-and-go-seek where I'm spending an hour looking for aliens... And, oh man, I found two. Now, like, three of my guys died from perfect. That's kind of dissatisfying. The combat, like, really cool, wasn't that fun to me.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't get sick of it before I decided to stop playing the game and play Mario instead. But I never found out how to, like, direct people to actually shoot at something. I figured out how to put them on auto-shoot if they got fired at.
Oh, you right-click on their gun? And then it gives you the different shoot options.
Yeah, Ed explained this to me on the way up, but, like, I had everyone in perfect firing position, everyone was facing the right way, and then they all just returned fire instead of actually shooting. So.
All right, guys, remember, we can't shoot unless they shoot first. They might want to have a peace accord.
So let's talk about the part of the game I did find fun, which was base management. You have different facilities in your bases you can build, like radar, alien containment facilities.
Missile launches.
Oh, man, that...
Bigger radar.
More hangars for your jets.
I really wish I'd gotten farther into that, because that seems like where this game has its strongest point is right there in the base management.
It also has, I don't want to say a lot of minutia, but you have to build living quarters to hire more soldiers and scientists.
That is
more
cool.
Laboratories. I agree.
Now, and you have
and you have to buy storage for your weapons.
You have the Again. Difference between engineers and scientists, and you have to like pay them a monthly wage, and like the engineers build
I
it.
I wish I'd gotten to the point where I had multiple bases.
I think with a tutorial, that would have been just so cool to do, but as it is, it's like, all right, you know, they throw you into the middle of the pool and just yell, stop drowning.
But, but Zach, they give you an encyclopedia that you can read every entry on without knowing what each entry means.
Well, you can read the entries. That doesn't tell you how to play the game.
It kind of does, actually. It tells you what the strengths and weaknesses of all the weapons are. And
I could just read the 184-page instruction manual and learn how
roughly
to click
equivalent.
A mouse.
The encyclopedia is actually an encyclopedia. I went and read almost every entry in it, and it took me, like, goddamn 4 hours. I probably actually spent more time reading the encyclopedia than playing the game.
But yeah, the base management's cool. You hire individual scientists, and you can assign them individually to research projects. The more you assign to a project, the faster the project finishes.
Gasp.
You don't really... hire them individually, because...
Well, you hire them in batches.
The
but...
scientists are nothing more than a number that you can allocate.
Okay,
that
that's
is true.
It's not like they have qualities.
Yeah.
But you can research...
specializations.
It would be kind of cool to have, like, five scientists that each have a different specialty that you have to do something to unlock.
That would be awesome. If this game had that, I would never stop playing it.
I actually managed to research power armor and all kinds of cool stuff.
I got laser rifles.
However, at the point that I researched power armor, I was negative $500,000 in debt and sinking.
And therefore could
so
not
you couldn't
any...
actually build any of it?
Because research is free, but building stuff
so
isn't.
So let's talk about that, because my biggest problem with this game is the way you advance. I think the biggest way to advance is research. Would you guys agree with me? Getting new tech,
yeah.
getting more
yeah.
power. research doesn't cost money, other than, like we said, scientists have a wage and you have an upfront cost to them. So the way you research is by having time pass. As time passes, your scientists get closer and closer to making discoveries. But when aliens attack, you have to go deal with them and deal with the combat and the intercepting, which, as we talked about, isn't that fun. And if you don't do that, then everyone pulls funding and you don't have any money and you lose like Ed.
Honestly, I really enjoyed the intercepting part of it. And if the combat had been fun, I wouldn't mind the break that it does.
I agree. But this
or if there had been a button that said automate combat.
And just having combat just randomly roll the whole thing out for you and find out how well you did.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a game like that. Uncharted Waters New Horizons.
So your new favorite
terrible
game.
Terrible combat, but has all this really fun trading stuff. And you don't really have to do the combat to experience that. Depending on what character you choose, that's a little different.
Yeah, Katarina had
all the combat.
Never played this game. No clue what you're talking about.
It's awesome. We recorded an episode on it. You listened to all the episodes.
It was the pirate game we played.
Oh, that one.
Yep.
Yeah, never played that game. Do know what you're talking about.
A thing like this, my favorite type of game for this is Final Fantasy Tactics, the original on the PlayStation, where what I actually find fun is investing my experience points into sweet new abilities.
Advancing.
In order to get those, I have to play the combat. So I go in and I enjoy playing the combat. Whereas in XCOM, the combat interrupts me, and if I ignore the combat, then I won't be able to research, rather than it enabling my research.
And you don't really get a whole lot out of it. I mean, you get... What are alien corpses good for?
You can dissect them and get more research projects from them.
Okay.
They unlock things, let you know, hey, this is how they did it, let's use it in our stuff.
I think you can also sell them, but I'm not sure on that.
I know that's what I used them in for in the new version.
So, yeah, I don't know, the combat isn't rewarding, and it doesn't really help your progress towards research. Although all research really does, if you think about it, is make you more effective at combat.
Yeah,
so,
well, it also lets you get cool new stuff for your base.
Which you fill by doing combat. Also, the way it rewards you for combat missions is if you do well, you get more funding, and if you do poorly, you get less funding. But if you do poorly, then you get less funding, which means that you are less likely to do well in the future. It's a negative feedback cycle.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can have those problems where you do poorly, and then in one time you lose like 3 guys on your squad. And for whatever reason, you may not be able to refill the same quality of guys. So your next mission has 3 guys that are worse. And, you know, you might lose a couple more guys. And it's just a steady decline where it's like, after this first mission, you knew this was going to go bad. And yeah. Then it just took you 4, 5, 6 hours to just completely finish the nosedive.
This game has a very old feel. Yeah. Like, it's an old game, so it should. But unlike a lot of other old games, it feels that way. It's very unapologetic. There's no tutorial. It just drops you in. And if you start to do poorly, even on the easiest difficulty, you just cycle downward.
Well, I don't mind it being unforgiving.
It's entirely possible to have a bad enough month where your monthly income drops below your upkeep costs and you actually start losing money each month.
Well, and that's the loss condition, and it's okay for games to have loss conditions, but they're way too easy in this game.
I don't have a problem with it being unforgiving. The problem that I have is that it doesn't tell you how to do anything. If it had a tutorial to let me know, here's how I'm supposed to be doing all this stuff, then I'd be perfectly fine with it.
To be fair, back then, they expected you to read the instruction booklet, but I think our current method of having some sort of in-game tutorial is far superior, because people learn by doing a lot better than they learn by reading, generally.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a more modern game that 3 of us have played. XCOM Enemy Unknown, which in some ways goes too far. I think, in tutorializing. Because there's a lot of stuff you have to do to advance in this game that the new game parallels, but the new game just tells you to do it. Like building an alien interrogation chamber.
Yeah, they tell you to do that.
In the new game, they just tell you, hey, do that. This game just hints that you might want to by saying, hey, we captured these aliens, but we couldn't do anything, so
they have set set progress points for that, like, build an alien interrogation. Build this other building. Build this other building. Those are, like, the specific ones that you have to build.
Yeah.
So they do telegraph what you're supposed to do much better. I don't know if it's tutorializing it, but they
literally
are
say, do not
guiding.
Progress in the game until you build this thing we just told you.
It is more guiding than it is.
I'm not saying the guiding is bad, but having played this, I might prefer a version where they don't tell you all that, where you just have to figure it out.
I think I agree, actually, and that's one of the things I like about older games, is that sometimes you just have to figure it out, and it's more rewarding, but if you can't figure out their logic, then you're screwed. Well, although we have the internet for that now.
This game had a lot of things in it that I would like to see in the updated version. Like, I would like to see the ability to build additional bases and station troops in those additional bases, as well as having base defense be a more important thing.
Would the ability to have multiple bases have mattered in the new one?
No, but
not
it would have been
more.
Well, they would have to change certain things about what they did in the new one, which I would perfectly fine with, so long as they kept what they did. Because
let's honestly, talk about the changes to the new one instead, just talking about what we would have liked in it.
Honestly, the only thing I think they did better in the new one is combat.
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
Combat and research actually feel intertwined in the new one to me.
They are still a little at odds, but they don't feel as bad.
Honestly,
they streamline most things. You don't hire individual scientists. You only have one research project at a time, and you don't really use the world map at all. You just wait for something to happen. It's like, hey, we found an alien. What do you want to do?
I think that if you took this game, slapped a new coat of paint on it, and as soon as the Sky Ranger landed, you'd start playing the remake, that would be the best game I've played in years.
That would be really good. There are probably some more streamlining things you have to do with this one and updating things, but for the most part, that's right.
Buying ammo, I'm not sure I would be too thrilled about.
Maybe.
Take that out, and I
actually like
off.
That part.
Yeah, I started to too, especially since ammo is cheap.
Until you get to zero or less dollars and you're making negative money a month and you can't buy ammo.
Well, at that point you've lost the game and you should start over.
Yes, but the game doesn't tell you've lost the game for another 6 or 7 months. You just sit there shooting down ships with your Sky Rangers until they run out of ammo.
But Enemy Unknown adds some RPG elements to your characters. They get classes and progression, which makes you care about them a lot more and makes them a lot more competent.
Sniper's OP, man.
They also very much shrink the size of your units, which I'm ambivalent about, but it's probably good for the way they went. It gives it less of a horror feel, but it makes it a lot more fun, so it's worth it.
It also sped up combat a lot.
Oh, so much.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get through one in a reasonable amount of time. You don't spend 12 years looking through gas stations
bad
guys.
I think my longest battle in one of the new ones was a mission that took me close to an hour, but that was because I was being really cautious. Hitting cover, not moving anybody too fast to go through it. It was just like, okay, cover, next guy moves up, cover. And it was just very, very slow, but it was because I was being very, very careful.
Yeah, there was no cover in this game.
Well, there is, actually.
Well,
kind
it just
of.
Blocks line of sight. It's not actually...
You can shoot through windows.
Can you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I never found
that. You can also hide in hay bales. That gives you a chance for the...
Do cars explode?
Gas
I
stations
do. Know.
Like, if you shoot a gas pump, it'll explode.
Well,
they
only
do
really
that in
ever
the
found
farms. They do that in Enemy Unknown
yeah.
as well. I was just wondering because that's one of the most horrifying things when you have a guy that ends their turn and the car, and then the car gets lit on fire. It's like, oh.
They can tell your next turn to explode.
Yeah, you can
random?
Get them away from it, but sometimes it's like, wait a minute, that car is on fire. Rap.
I don't know. I've used that against the aliens too, and taken out 4 or 5 sectoids with one car.
That's always funny.
All right, so final thoughts on XCOM. I kind of think you should play Enemy Unknown instead. If you really, really like that game, maybe this one is worth taking a look at, but combat is so boring and it's so opaque that I kind of say skip it.
I would suggest Enemy Unknown as well, or if you really want to try, the most recent one is Enemy Within. It's the expansion pack they released last year.
Having never played the new one, I actually like this game. I think it's worth playing. I'm probably going to play it some more.
Idea behind it, I just couldn't get into it with Enemy Within as an option.
Ed is nodding. He should be talking on the audio podcast.
Yeah, everybody's pretty much covered it, but the one thing is, this is a great game except for the combat. If I knew somebody that could make it so the combat was just a random number generator.
But the combat takes so long that that's like 60% of the game, probably more.
I really feel like an open source fan-made version of this that isn't called XCOM and is instead called Totally Not XCOM, We Swear.
Alien Defense?
There actually is an open source version of this being produced.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
It's on the Steam news page for it, so. I think once that takes off, I think that will actually, generally from what I've seen in the community, most fans of this game have very similar opinions on it. So, I think the open source version is going to solve all these issues, so. We'll see.
Alright, Zach. So what are we going to play next week?
Well, I think, based on my perusing of the list of Wii Virtual Consoles, I have come across the Special Cybernetic Attack Team for the NES. It looks like it should be fairly interesting.
That sounds like it's going to be terrible, given that it's a game about a special cybernetic attack team on the NES.
But they're special and cybernetic and an attack team.
It's a shoot 'em up, so it should be...
Oh god, this sounds horrible.
Was this
horrible.
A light gun game?
I don't think so.
Alright, so next time on Last Time, scat. I can't follow that up with a
joke. I don't think anybody can.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. Podcast is over. Oh, yeah. How did you like that? This, I think the record will show this pro, pod, this broadcast is Pod Fortune Street. Right?
Do you want to take another run at that?